B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we're going to talk about Netflix employing a VTuber. Sounds weird because VTubers aren't real. Also, we're going to be talking about Sony and their commitment to first-party development, and Riot is getting rid of the Chrono Break program. But don't forget, we are esports certified here on this show. We're definitely going to be talking about the esports certificate program coming from the ECI and why everybody decided to make fun of it. So that is your show, and this is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
What's up, y'all? It's a lovely day outside. I'm enjoying myself already.
It's
nice, so
to have
wonderful.
Day two of 80 degrees.
So nice.
It was nice last night when it didn't drop down to the low 40s or upper 30s.
That's the time when I wish it would drop is at night because I get so warm at night.
No,
that's
I get
the only time.
Oh, God,
I'm
it gives
not
me a headache
freezing.
Every time.
Really?
We literally got to find a way to start the show that doesn't include the weather.
No. This is it.
That's the gimmick now.
We must find a way. Anyway, I'm here with Chad Callahan. What's up, Chad?
Oh, you know, just enjoying my continual. Well, I did win again. I win one in Fortnite.
So you're back on a winning track.
I'm back on my pro scene.
Okay,
I'm going back for the pros.
Pros.
Although I did play a little bit of Raft yesterday, too.
Really?
I'm getting into that game.
How was that?
That game's fun.
Yeah?
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Right, okay.
But it's fun.
I get you.
And it's a little glitchy, but it's fun.
All right, and Callie Scales is here as well.
I'm not going pro in anything. I have decided. I don't think I have the...
No CSGO with Rick?
You know what? Despite yet another offer from Cloud9, I've decided that I'm going to have to take a pass on it. I just don't think I'm there yet.
All right,
you could be the first pro crafter in Final Fantasy XIV.
I have a better chance of that than I do anything else,
certain. What would that scene look like?
Competitive crafting.
Snoozeworthy.
Yeah,
would it
be like
ridiculous. About the speed? Would it be about like making this
world first to the most expensive item during the patch?
Yeah, like the craziest materials. I don't know. Yeah,
Do you have to get the materials and then craft it? And then the first person who does it is
the winner.
So what it'll be? Cool. What it'll be is it'll be a high waisted skirt more than likely.
That would be very popular.
Or a bralette.
A bralette would be
something like that.
Be very popular. Thigh high boots.
So it's
a lot
all
of boots.
Stockings.
Weird clothing things. Now I was expecting like swords, potions.
Chad, here's what I need you to understand. Everything in Final Fantasy XIV comes back to glamour.
And glamour.
If I can't wear it and it doesn't make me look weeby, it doesn't count.
Glamour.
It doesn't matter. It has a very short lifespan.
Glamour. Is the end game.
That
got it. Okay.
Glamour is end game.
I mean, that's most games, I guess.
No. You do not know.
Yeah.
Glamour is the end game.
There are level one body pieces that are hundreds of thousands of gills.
Because
this is why I don't want to play.
Because
if I can't look cute day
look
one, I'm out.
Well, you can look
first
cute
of all,
day one.
It's 14. You'll be beautiful the moment you create your character.
Yeah, that's true. You will have to wear a potato sack.
That's my thing. I don't
for like
want
10
my
levels.
Cute character looks
is that the was it the
hempen kurta?
Hempen kurta. It's literally a potato sack. Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, listen. That's the real end game, and ERP is the final dungeon. With that said, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right, so Netflix has introduced a new anime ambassador who is a sheep human VTuber named Enko.
Okay.
So for those who don't know what VTubers are, it is the, I would say, latest craze taking over YouTube. They are basically 2D or 3D animated models that serve as the YouTuber.
That serve as avatars for
the YouTuber.
The YouTuber.
It was another one of those things where I first saw it and went, that's stupid. And now it is like the biggest thing on the internet.
Let me tell you something. All right. We've been doing this forever. And when I say we, I mean humans, mm-hmm. right? And not just when talking about, you know, VTubers, but think back in the day, right? You had Hatsune Miku and Vocaloid.
Vocaloids, yep.
Stuff. And then, listen, I put it out on Twitter earlier today. All right? Toonami Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Toonami Tom.
The original VTuber.
The original VTuber, okay? So we've had digital hosts, voiced by Steve Blum, by the way.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Tom was voiced.
Think about Tom's voice. Replay Tom's voice in
Spike
your head.
Spike Spiegel is...
Spike Spiegel.
No, I knew that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize he was Tom.
Get it together.
I mean, now that I hear it, yeah, absolutely
he was. Get it together.
They just put that weird robot-y voice on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But listen, I think this is cool. I think it is, you know, one of those things where it's on brand. It's very nice. I really appreciate the fact that they're deciding to do something that actually seems pretty kind of... like a young person actually thought of this.
It makes sense to who they're going after.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously it's towards, it's like anime ambassador, so having an anime character.
Makes total sense.
The whole sheep hybrid furry part of it is a little weird.
Well, but that's a YouTuber thing, or a VTuber thing. Like, most of, like, the VTubers, like the famous ones, have an animal crossover with them.
No, I'm aware.
The only VTuber I truly know of is, and I'm blanking on her name, I had to look
the
it
one
up.
On Twitch?
Yeah, the one on Twitch. What's her name?
Who, like, interviews everybody.
Like,
and...
Miko or something
like that. Yeah.
And she does interviews.
She basically did, like, the Tonight Show.
Is that it's an unfortunate placement, but
it's not unfortunate
for me. It is. It's weird, but like she's got like the chat like on her chest, and the chat moves up and stuff. Like, it's very clever. I think the way that this person created this VTuber and made it is very well done.
Oh, it's incredibly like intricate. The girl who created her is brilliant.
I've heard of the back end of just doing this.
What it goes into it. It's a lot of work. We in our household, Robbie Fatstacks has been bitten by the VTuber bug.
Oh no.
So I'm hearing characters speak in a language I do not understand at all hours of the day right now in the household. It is very strange. Just half the time, it's not subtitled either.
Wow.
So I'm like, Rob, you're just watching someone speak Japanese, a language you don't speak.
Does he speak at least a little bit?
I mean, a minuscule amount. Not enough to understand what's going on.
That's not great. Yeah. But anyway, a good idea from Netflix, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions. Again, very on brand.
So Sony's announced in a earnings call that they were on, they explained that one of their two main plans for growing the company is going to be aggressive investment in first-party studios, first-party game development, and also continuing to bring in more third-party developers under the PlayStation fold. I don't think that's anything shocking to hear.
No, it's not shocking, but I think it's important for consumers to hear, considering that part of what Sony was able to do in the PS4 sort of generation is shore up their third party support. People were worried about that with the, you know, that was the beginning of these, you know, super duper exclusivity deals and all this stuff coming out. And obviously people want to talk about exclusives and first party stuff, but that was really the first true victory outside of share your games with your friends and all that other stuff and $100 cheaper. Outside of that, That was the first software victory of the PlayStation 4 was the fact that they locked up, you know, Capcom, they locked up Square Enix, they locked up a lot of these third parties that put out a lot of good games for the PS4.
That was according to Sony CFO Hiroki Totoki, which sounds definitely like a Tarantaro name.
That's a Lolafell.
That is a Lolafell.
What is it?
Hiroki Totoki.
Wow.
If that isn't like
Ajito Majiro.
Yes,
that's a kid's nursery rhyme at some point in the future.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
he pointed out the company's partnership with Assassin's Creed's Jade Raymond, their new studio that they're working on.
Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. They're creating an original PlayStation IP for them. That's the sort of partnerships they're looking to continue fostering into the PS5.
Well, and Sony kind of don't have a choice about this either. Because looking at what Microsoft is doing is going up and buying up all these studios. What Sony can do, instead of just going out and buying studios, they can hire the talent into Sony in and of itself. And that way, you're making games for Sony. You're not making games for Rare.
No.
You're not making games for Double Fine. You're not making games for Ninja Theory. You make games for Sony.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And everything done within this studio was created by Sony. So, again, from a corporate thuggery point of view, I think this makes a lot of sense because it creates no factions. You all work for Sony. You know what I mean? So, I think that's intelligent of them. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they can bring forward through their first-party development because God of War Ragnarok needs to be, like, here, like, yesterday. I need that game ASAP.
So, obviously, anytime you create third-party content for an existing franchise or game, you do so at your own peril. Such was the lesson learned with Chrono Shift. For those who don't know, Chrono Shift was a server that basically allowed players to play a 10-year-old version of League of Legends. If you wanted to play League of Legends in ye olden times...
Basically, League Vanilla.
Do you remember?
They're doing League Classic.
Yeah, they're doing League Classic, effectively. They've been operating now for a while, but finally they were contacted by Riot and were told surrender the source code and basically pack it in. You can't do this anymore.
How long have they been doing this?
They were doing that, I think, for 2 years.
Interesting.
I want to say.
So this, to me, Riot knew about this for a while, obviously.
Yeah.
And it seems interesting that all of a sudden it's an issue. So I'm thinking they're taking some notes from the success of Blizzard.
They'd be stupid not to.
And they're probably launching a, like I said,
well, listen, let me tell you. Let me tell you something right now, Chad.
I don't know what it would look like.
No, Chad, let me tell you something right now. All right? And I'm going to be very, very honest with you. All right? I remember League when it first came.
So do I.
That's why I'm wondering.
First of all, why does anyone want to play that?
Nobody. The market for that is so niche. That the only people playing it were probably the people who made it. And the thing about it is that even if there is a market for it, I don't know if Riot would see the cost benefit and go, yeah, let's make this.
That's what I mean. Like, the game was so jank back then.
I don't know if they'd have to... I don't know. I don't know what they'd have to do. Because, like, technically, somewhere, somehow, it already exists.
I mean, the thing about it is, Chad, is that it is very... Part of the allure of League is the fact that it is kind of this constant deluge of new champions,
right.
New, you know, item reworks, balancing, and all this stuff.
See, I could see wanting to do private servers where I have certain champions disabled or
certain items
back in the game.
Now,
I could see that.
If they do it, that would be the route I think they take, which is private servers, which is you can pay X amount of dollars to Riot in order to set up a private server.
But nobody wants to go back to circa 2011 Summoner's Rift with the tiny little like Baron worm sticking out. It looked awkward. The janky ass dragon. No one wants to go back to that.
You say that.
The game looks like garbage.
Do you remember?
But people did. That's
do you
why
remember
this
the VFX?
Yes.
How it looked. Do you remember what Vhagar's R used to look like?
Yes,
it
I do.
Was awful.
It
looked bad, Chad. It looked bad then.
Everyone had like weird blocky feet still.
It was
awkward.
It was shit.
No, listen, obviously anytime you do a project like this, you do so at your own peril. And don't get me wrong, I don't think projects like this shouldn't exist. I think it's great that they do. We look at the Nosomi server, right, in FF11. Mm-hmm. I love that it exists, but I'm also not going to get on my high horse if tomorrow Square Enix says
shut it
knock
down.
It off.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Damon in the chat said exactly what I was going to say. People are still playing old school RuneScape.
All right. Listen, old school RuneScape looks better than old school League of Legends.
It does.
It looks
still,
terrible.
It does.
You say that no one wants to play it, but there clearly was.
Let me rephrase. I don't want to say that no one wants to play it. There's some psychopath who wants to go back and play vanilla League.
I just find it interesting.
Here's the problem, though, is that for me, Riot is so good at understanding what's going to make them a butt ton of money, and that's not going to make them a butt ton of money.
A monetizable audience doesn't want to play it.
Exactly.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, why go after this? I don't know. I guess other than protecting
because it's
IP.
Our shit.
I suppose, but it's just weird that it held up for 2 years and then.
To be fair,
2 years is actually not that long in the history of like homebrew shit, right? The Nosomi server's been up for longer than 2 years. Sometimes it takes that long for it to even hit the radar of the people who work at the company,
all right,
legal teams at those companies. So. It's one of those things where, you know, they got hit with the C&D, as Callie said, caveat emptor.
So, yeah, okay, so Chronoshift dev, I'm going to go based off of their Twitter. Chronoshift looks like they joined March 2020, so a little over a year it's been up.
See, and that's fast. That is fast, okay? There's plenty of homebrew servers for plenty of games that have been going strong for many years that either
they... Nosomi's been around longer than that.
That's what I'm saying. So either they never hit the legal team of those particular companies, or those companies just go, you know, they're actually not taking any money of our out of our pockets. I don't know. Nosomi is taking money. I'm not paying for 11 ever again.
No.
But anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, get ready to get certified in esports, y'all. We're going to talk all about the ECI coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, the world's only certified esports podcast. With that said, we are here. Norris Howard, your host. Chad Callahan is here. Callie Scales is here as well. Don't forget to check us out at our website, checkpointxp.com. And when you see the little ribbon in the upper right-hand corner next to the lock, that means our website is secure and esports certified.
That's right. All right.
So, you know, we make a little joke about this, but Twitter and the esports world was set ablaze last night.
I would say so, yeah.
Because a organization by the name of the Esports Certification Institute, a public benefit corporation, that doesn't mean they're a nonprofit.
No, but public benefit, very different.
Yes, very different. Came out and announced themselves to the world, as well as their plans for creating a esports certification process and test. Now,
I have many questions.
That on its surface, if you took that statement and threw it into a vacuum and left it by itself, you would say, wow, what a nice idea. This the industry is replete with bad actors, people who don't pay their players and their staff.
Yeah, it is.
All is these it types something of needed for real?
Is it something that's needed? I'd be inclined to agree.
Yeah, probably.
There should be some sort of standard. I think that's fine.
Why do I sense the devil's in the details?
Oh, boy. Because here it comes.
Yeah.
And the rest of esports Twitter completely eviscerated this thing.
Yeah.
But not for that reason.
For other reasons. First and foremost, they came out and said, this is quote, the exam. So what they're putting out is an exam. You take the exam. You get certified.
Like the by SATs?
By the way, you pay $400 for it.
That's number
exam.
One.
So like the practice SATs.
Yeah.
So, got it. Number got one. It. By the way, they said in the spirit of diversity and inclusion, by the way, pay us $400.
Yeah, wait a minute. What do you mean by the spirit of diversity and inclusion? You can't gate it behind a paywall.
Yeah, exactly. So okay, they great. Have awesome. Priced it, the test at $400. That is issue one. But we get into some deeper...
$400. So when I hear
yes.
a test is $400,
yes.
usually the reason that tests are so expensive, if it's not a blatant money grab, is because it involves, like say, your driving test, where someone has to actually accompany you in a car.
Yes, staffing.
Staffing. Like, yeah. This isn't $400 just for a paper test, is it? Or a digital test, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So here we go. You already rub people the wrong way with the $400 test. But they put out a study guide for the test, which was a fucking terrible idea, right? And they allowed people to pay what they thought was fair, which meant everybody said zero.
They did a humble bundle for the study guide?
Which everybody said, absolutely not, I'm not paying you. Myself included.
There you go.
So I got the study guide, y'all. And let me tell you this right now, okay?
Well, you may have gotten only the free study guide.
Oh, that's right. I didn't get the premium study
guide. Yeah, that's right.
But let me tell you guys something, all right? Inside of the study guide for this particular practice test, for this particular not real certification process, was about 50 pages of esports vocabulary and the rest of the 175 pages, literal statistics.
When you
not
say,
statistics about esports, a statistics course.
Like prob and stats.
Prob and stat.
Oh.
They explain to you what a pie chart is.
Oh, no.
What a graph is. What a scatter plot is. Oh. What a bell curve is.
Well, I assume they don't explain it to you. I assume they test you on whether you know that.
No.
Oh, sorry. This is the study guide. So, yeah,
they explain what standard deviation is.
Oh.
First of all, what the fuck does this have to do with esports? Number one. Number two is that it touches on none of the actual issues that one would need to learn about in order to be a well-rounded esports professional. It doesn't say anything about game culture, brand building.
Oh.
Has nothing to do
production?
No.
Oh.
Nothing about production. Nothing about
team
PR
management
or team
management. Human resources?
Nothing about human resources. Nothing about there's a paragraph about social media. A paragraph.
Nothing about coaching?
Nothing about coaching.
Oh, Jesus.
Literally,
what are you telling
the
me
practice test is a statistics test.
Maybe you gotta get the rest of the practice test out of loot boxes. Is that it?
I mean, that sounds about right.
It actually sounds quite on brand.
Yeah.
But,
okay, so
yeah.
A couple of points about this. Because first off, like you said earlier, I think that a certification for esports is not the worst idea in the world.
No.
Because I think, like you say, there are a lot of bad actors here. But to me, what that would look like is, hey, you know, okay, does anyone else have progressive driving insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, they send you the little snapshot and you plug it in. And
that
you
shit is optional.
It is optional. It's totally optional.
And I failed it and I had to send it back.
Okay, great. So I have that going on right now. And basically all it does, you plug it in, they monitor your driving habits. If you're awesome, they give you lower insurance.
To me, what
a right way of doing this would be, hey, we're going to monitor your esports organization for the next 12 months.
That's great.
And if you perform well and do the right things, you're going to get a certification.
No,
isn't that what this should look like?
No, Callie, wrong, because we can't monetize that. What are you talking about?
You know what?
First of all, we were trying to
make money, not
first
be helpful.
Of all, no, and listen, you can make money. The thing about money, that's not the biggest thing. It's a big thing when you talk about charging individual people, most of them kids coming straight out of college who are broke as shit.
Oh, to say that you're certified.
To say they're certified so they can go get jobs, to put on their resume to go get jobs. That's bullshit.
You want to hear a comparison? I can get Google certified and YouTube certified for free.
For free.
There you go.
Through Google. Through the organization that built it. So why are these people who are not part of Riot, not part of Blizzard, not part of Activision.
Hold on. And we're getting to that. That is one of the biggest points I want to make, because within the framework and the posts and all the flowery language that they put out, they say, hey, listen, we have this advisory board of esports professionals, which include people who are casters and producers and team owners and team CEOs and all this good stuff. That's just an advisory board. That just means you sent them an email and says, can you fill out this survey and be part of this advisory board?
I would say, and I'm expected to believe that their take on what the industry needs is stats.
Especially since it's already known to be toxic and problematic. So let's get the people who are toxic and problematic to solve our issues.
Right. And so what it doesn't have is any actual decision makers from a game development company,
right,
or an esports league actually saying that this is the standard. That's the only way they could have did it. If they came out and they said officially backed by the LCS, LEC, LCK, LPL, Overwatch League,
Call of Duty League.
What's the other one? ESL.
Yeah.
All these leagues, if they would have said officially certified by all of these entities.
Even if they just had a handful.
Right.
I'd still call bullshit if it was $400, but at least I'd see some value.
And beyond that, at least you would see that this is the standard required by the people who actually matter.
So they're saying, like, there's a lot of bad actors out there and all this other stuff. So I get esports certified as Joe Schmo. What am I going to get from this?
Well,
how am I going to go to Cloud9 and be like, I'm esports certified And I took this course on how to own a team.
No, no, but that's the big thing is if your whole goal is to get bad actors out of esports, all you've done is ensure that they can pass a probability and statistics 101 course and have $400.
But like my problem is yeah, like what do I as a person who never's gone into esports get out of this? Like, what is the value?
Well, and that's the thing is that the second issue with this is that nobody knew who the fuck this was marketed for.
Right.
Was it for esports PR people? Was it for potential players? Well, was it for coaches? Was it for people who want to own teams? Nobody knew because none of the content of the study guide or the practice test actually said either one, this is who it's for, or two, provided any sort of value on how to do any of it.
And how vague to say esports certified, because you can't treat the OWL similar to Cloud9. Because
you can't treat legal legends like Overwatch.
But there is a certain standard, like perfect example, like sports medicine, right? You go and get a degree in sports medicine.
Right.
Yes, the injuries that will happen in tennis are different from the injuries that will happen in football. But you are
But your degree in sports medicine counts
because you learn about the more holistic part of it. And then once you get into your field, you get into your specializations, you do internships and apprenticeships, you can begin to learn the more granular parts of it. But here's the problem is the fact that if you take this test, you are not equipped with the tools to do any of that shit.
No.
That's the thing is, first of all, a certification is only as good as the group that's backing it, right? Like, Google gives me a certification. Okay, well, Google's one of the largest companies in the world. I actually would put some stock in that certification, which you can get, as you said, for free. Like you said earlier, the LCS or the LEC, if they put out a certification, I put some stock in that because I can assumedly then take that certification to them and say, hey, yo, I'm certified, hire me.
And here's the biggest...
I have never heard of these people, so I don't care if they think I'm qualified.
And here's the biggest problem is that Callie, you just said it. Who the fuck are these people, right?
Yes.
Because the biggest thing is that I know if the Overwatch League put their stamp on it or the LCS put their stamp on it, they have seen the test.
Yeah.
They have seen the contents of it. And I guarantee you, if any person that ran the LCS or the LEC saw that test, they would go, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Go do it again.
That's exactly it.
This taught us nothing.
If I, at the end of the day, don't know who you are, why do I care to be certified by you?
It would be no different, literally, than us coming on the air and say, hey, jump in our chat, and we'll talk about the basics of esports for an hour and a half, give you a test, and you will be esports certified.
Oh, that's
weird, because we just did that. To that end, anyone who puts a letter in the chat, that's what you have to do. You have to type...
A character.
A character. Possible answers could be 3 or 5, like whatever. Post it in the chat in the next 5 minutes, and we are going to certify you as an esports. You're going to be esports certified.
And so, again, it just, this whole thing just rubbed everybody the wrong way. It felt like a cash grab. And the part that kind of hurt, really, nobody thought about is the fact that we are in our bubble. We're in the esports bubble, the gamer bubble, right?
Yep.
There's a ton of people who are not keyed in, who are going to see that, and they're going to take it as gospel.
Well, there's parents, too, who are going to be like, my son or daughter can be esports certified. They really love this stuff. I'm going to put money into it and have them take this.
Very important. E. Gabriels has just put an F in the chat. E. Gabriels is now esports certified.
That's right. Valiant Summer.
Valiant Summer. Also now esports certified. Congratulations.
That's right. Your certificate's in the mail. But legitimately, that's the most worrying thing about it is that parents, school administrators, and others are going to see this and they're going to say, oh, an esports certification thing. We'll loop that into our curriculum. And now every kid who takes an esports minor has to pass a bullshit stats test.
Yeah.
And they'll make money hand over fist.
God. And it's not even to say, by the way, that prob and stats shouldn't be part of it. Like, if you want to be a general manager, you better freaking understand.
Yeah, but that's
no, you don't.
If you want to be a coach, you better understand prob and stats.
No, you don't. No, you don't, because the games do it for you. What do I need to really, 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 really know stats in depth like what they said in this particular? I don't need to know it because the games do it for me. Mm. I can pull all your stats and I could go, all right, cool. Look, I could look at the they give you a bar graph in league after every game.
They do. I think there is a value if you're, say, a general manager comparing players, understanding what a standard deviation
there's
between players
three
is.
Jobs.
Yeah, that is
there's
important.
Three jobs that I can think of in an esports organization that would require what was in here. Maybe a GM, but a data analyst, and maybe a coach. Yeah. So that's one job and two maybes.
Yeah, I think Province Stats has a part in an esports minor. It should not be a big chunk of your test.
It was the whole test.
I agree.
Here's the other issue, and I think we talked about it yesterday. Why is it only going to a person? Like, it makes no sense. If that person, say I go and create an organization, I'm esports certified, quote, unquote, and then I leave that organization, now does that mean that that's not certified anymore?
Well, see, that's what I was getting at earlier with what I was talking about, where it's like, more valuable than this would be something where a watchdog group keeps an eye on an organization for a year and then certifies that organization.
The organization
itself. Be like, okay, Cloud9, you are certified. You've passed everything.
By the way, you want a chance of joining the LCS next split? You better have that certification. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's where there'd be some value in this.
No.
In individual people passing a province stats test for $400, there's nothing there.
Because there is no money in it. Okay, there's no money to be made. It doesn't matter if you charge $1 million per certification for it. It doesn't matter because every esports org is going to look at you and say, dude, fuck you. I don't care. I'm already in the LCS or I'm already on the road to being a, you know, Overwatch League franchise. I don't care.
McChizu says that they met Checkpoint XP at an LCS event. Esports certified.
That's right.
Oh, great. I would say you are.
Yep, 100%. Word out to Boise. Michizu is one of our Idaho brethren. Word out to them. But, you know, this whole thing is one. It came off in one of those phrases where you say, you know, you bring up the biggest stink about the people doing the things that you're doing too.
Scummy.
And coming at this, talking about diversity and inclusion, and we're trying to get rid of bad actors and this, that, and the third, and you put this out only revealed you as somebody who is also a bad actor.
I'd call you a bad actor before most of the people that you're accusing.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the sad part here, because I know there's probably some folks who are well-intentioned involved with this organization.
I'm certain there are.
I'm absolutely certain. I've gotten DMs from some of them who have asked me about this, who wanted my opinion on what they can do to fix it, and I think that's fine, but you should have fucking did that before you put out the messaging.
I have no doubt that this was originally conceptualized as a genuine thing to try to help this community, but whatever you ended up putting out isn't that.
No. So here's another thing. Has there ever been your sports certified, your baseball certified?
No, I don't think so.
So why are we treating esports?
You go to college,
which is,
I guess,
essentially part of sports. And treat it completely
because
different.
Because there's no esports degrees. So
yet.
If you
they're in the works.
No, I agree with you. Yet, but if you get your trainers have sports medicine degrees or are doctors, your GMs usually have finance backgrounds or
business management
backgrounds. You know,
front office work,
stuff like that. Your owners are usually rich fucks who get their money from elsewhere. So everybody at every sort of tier of the organization is more than likely educated in what it is that they are doing.
Right.
Traditionally. Because esports is a new field, that nuance hasn't necessarily gotten there yet.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the same paradigm can't apply. If I'm starting an esports organization and I need somebody to be a GM, okay, I probably am going to go for the same type of credentials that I would say for a middling or minor league traditional sports team. So really, the whole thing is superfluous. It doesn't even really need to exist in that capacity. But as you guys both illustrated, if there was some watchdog organization that certified orgs, that has more value than pulling, you know, little Timmy from, you know, Skokie, Illinois, and making him pay $400 to get esports certified.
Exactly.
It's
I want
not,
some of these
not real.
Some of these orgs that don't pay their players, I want them out of esports.
Right.
And this ain't going to get them out of esports.
Yeah, because what's the end goal here? So, okay, all these bad actors are already out there. If you're not esports certified by, you know, May 3rd, you guys are out.
By the way, whatever. I don't want to pay any of my players. Fuck my players. I'll just take the $10,000 I was supposed to pay them, pay the $400 to get esports certified, and continue doing the same shit that I was doing. And it doesn't stop anything.
I guess we're going back to the marketing thing. It's like, who do I take that certification to? Am I taking it to a team? Am I taking it to players? Am I taking it to the organizations? Am I taking it to the LCS?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Where does that piece of paper value the most?
I mean,
nowhere.
You look at people like, you know, Azale, who is outspoken about the fact that he pretty much went right into esports and bypassed college altogether. You mean to tell me that one of the most knowledgeable minds, not just in league, but in esports, period, somehow has no value because he didn't go to traditional school or didn't get quote unquote esports certified? That's bullshit. That's
the same as like trade skills.
Yeah. But that's exactly. It's the same as a trade. But that's the same pervasive white collar bullshit that it's the reason why we aren't at the level that we need to be. Is because you got people who don't understand how this shit works trying to make it operate as if it was a fucking Fortune 500 company. And you can't operate it like that.
TLDR, you done goofed.
You done goofed.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. Stick around. We're going to be here if you are in the stream. We record two episodes. But if you're not, we'll catch you tomorrow on the podcast. So for Chad Callahan and Kelly Scales, I'm your host, Norris Howard. See you later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.